When cities fail in their basic responsibilities, there are multiple costs, and in the case of young people, the greatest cost may be a sense that no one cares about them.
Mr. President, hello, my name is Mark Hopney, and I'm 8 years old. I live in Flint, Michigan, and I am more commonly known around town as Little Miss Flint. I am one of the children that is affected by this water, and I have been doing my best to march and protest and speak up for all the kids that live here in Flint. I would love for a chance to meet you or your wife. My mom said chances are you will be too busy.
Little Mari Kopeny wasn't able to meet with the president earlier this year when she was in Washington, D.C., but the president is in Flint today and will visit Mari and city and state officials, including embattled Republican Governor Snyder. What community activists are noticing now are psychological consequences in Flint of a sudden degradation of water, a cover-up, a toxic health threat, building now into deep trust issues and constant vigilance and anxiety about where the next threat is coming from. Dr. Kent Key is a Flint native and is seeing this exactly. He's a community engagement researcher for the Michigan Institute for Clinical Health and Research at the University of Michigan. And mental health crisis worker Elizabeth Birch is a licensed master social worker with Genesee Health System in Flint. She says there is a clear Flint water crisis pathology now.
I think that because this problem has been going on for so long and residents were really voicing their concerns from the beginning, but unfortunately there was not any elected officials that could do anything about it. And this problem has been going on for years now. Folks have just really felt out of control and the level of stress and anxiety in their lives has really increased.
Dr. Key, I mean, this is an abrogation of an essential responsibility of government to keep people safe. That's what we're seeing here in the mental health consequences, right?
Well, what I'm seeing is there's so many different levels of distrust now. There's levels of water insecurity. There are levels of issues of confidence. And when we talk about this levels of distrust, it's very clear to make a distinction between that of a natural disaster and that of a man-made disaster. When a disaster happens in a natural sense, such as a tornado or earthquake, there is a level of resolve that you come to because it's kind of unavoidable. But when it's a man-made disaster, specifically one that has been led by elected officials, if you will, then there's a whole nother level of psychological trauma that happens because these are people who you have put your trust in, who you have put your confidence in, that are supposed to protect you. And when that doesn't happen, it exacerbates the already existing stressors that you live in an urban environment and specifically in a city where there is high economic decline.
Dr. Key, is it also the case that when those elected officials don't disclose what's going on and hide the issue for a while, you also have no, unlike a natural disaster, you have no idea where it's coming from?
Exactly. And then you don't know who to trust, the very ones in government that the community is looking at that caused the problem. Now we're supposed to depend on these exact same entities to help guide us out of it. So it creates this level of stress that is kind of beyond belief.
Elizabeth Birch, I want to make sure that people listening don't consider this some kind of story of, you know, unfortunate people who are, whining about something. This, you know, when government keeps people from feeling safe, there are all kinds of health problems, and mental health problems are really right at the top. What are you seeing, and what particular stories can you tell me?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we hear over and over is that this is really impacting people in every single aspect of their life. So not only is it, you know, just, oh, I have to go out of my way to get water, but it's problems with bathing, problems with, I can't exercise as much as I want to because I can't shower at my own house. I have to go outside of town to shower. I mean, it really is impacting folks at every single part of their life. And additionally, you know, to say that people are just whining is just a little bit absurd. I mean, parents are worried about their child's development. We have adults who are worried about how this is going to impact them. I mean, the unknown in this crisis is astronomical, and it's heartbreaking.
How do we control the anxiety? How do we treat the anxiety in a way that allows people, and it's going to be people that are going to have to pull themselves out of this, to go about being productive?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always important to have a listening ear and someone who's not going to minimize this crisis, someone who's going to understand and empathize with what folks are going through, because it's intense.
Dr. Key, the presence of President Obama in the community could have some palliative impact, wouldn't you say?
I would say the fact that he's coming may kind of give people a sense of hope. However, specifically for the African-American community, because he's the first African-American president, it still is a struggle with the cultural and historical pathology of the African-American experience, because this issue in Flint has resurrected for many the wounds of Tuskegee and many of the elders in our community that have taught many of us, because I'm in my 30s, so I didn't really live during that time where they were actually doing the experiment. However, it's kind of putting a face to all of the stories that I've heard at my family reunions about the Tuskegee experiment. So I'm hoping that the president's visit can help in a way kind of soothe and kind of re-energize the people to fight through this, specifically for all the community, but more specifically for the African-American community in Flint.
Dr. Kent Key, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We also spoke with Elizabeth Birch. Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Birch is a licensed master in social work with Genesee Health System, and Dr. Kent Key is a community engagement researcher for the Michigan Institute for Clinical Health and Research at the University of Michigan, and executive deputy director of community-based organization Partners.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.